fighting for America.
The notion that the West is at war with Islam is an ugly lie. And all of us, regardless of our faith, have a responsibility to reject it.
Fighting for Idaho.
They're calling us what we are, Christians. And one by one, we form the strongest bond because it's a bond that is rooted in Jesus Christ. And no matter how much they try to oppose him, they will not prevail.
Fighting for you.
If you mothball some of these assets, you know, it doesn't take long for things to start to deteriorate. That's why we insist that they put another mission in here before they pull the A-10 out.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580-KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-5436. You can always follow me on Twitter, at Kevin Miller Show, and on Facebook, at Kevin Miller Show. Coming up, Senator Cameron will join us. We'll talk about JFAC, the budget, the internet, and really when it comes down to, is it teachers, is it textbooks? And where we go from here in the state of Idaho, that's one issue we'll be talking about. State Representative Matt Erpelding will join us. Matt Erpelding will join us to talk about his bill concerning animal cruelty. And we will get to those issues coming up. But before that, let's hear a little bit more from the Save Gowan event. Here is Senator Crapo. Now, this was at the Boise Airport, and you had the two senators and the governor and a few others that were there. And let me apologize for the buzz right now. The senators were there to make the case to the Air Force, to the public, that they care about Gowan Field.
The message I believe that we have delivered very strongly is, first, how strongly we in our communities here in Idaho support our national defense, our Air Force, our Air National Guard, and the missions that we currently perform. We also made it clear to the Secretary how committed we are to making sure that we remain competitive and strong for future missions.
Right. Now, you had a lot of folks yesterday basically saying that, possibly the F-35A could be coming here. Now, we all know that the F-35A is the next generation fighter, and I don't know what has changed from the last time that Mountain Home or Gowan Field was supposed to get the F-35A, and that didn't happen. Maybe it was noise concerns. And there is an element, and look, if it was in your neighborhood, do you want these fighter jets screaming over your porch when you're out there trying to play wiffle ball, when you're out there trying to have some tea and talk to the neighbors? Do you want these fighter jets training and playing Top Gun, if you will? It's a question, a legitimate question of community values. So here you add Governor Otter, Senator Crapo, Senator Risch, and a few others making their case, and they should be applauded for that. But on the other hand, if we just believe that we're going to hold a press conference, by the way, Bill Connors, and I believe we are chasing him from the chamber, we've had Bill on before, you know, made their case about how much business Gowan Field brings to the area and economically what a hit it would be to all of us if Gowan Field went away. But that is a possibility. And I believe it is up to each and every one of us. You are great contributors, the electronic media, the print media, to heighten the awareness concerning Gowan Field. To heighten the awareness concerning that it might go away. And you heard the governor, you heard others basically laying the smack down, saying, well, if you're going to shut something down and mothball it, chances are nothing's coming back. Is that the correct method of action? And here's the other thing. We pride ourselves on being the reddest of the red states. Now, right now, because we have a guy in the office that, you know, you pick your descriptive term of him, he's not a big fan of the red states, is he? He's not a big fan of people that oppose his way of thought. So perhaps on his way out, he might sit back and say, well, I'm going to do some base closings.
We're the reddest of the red state in the United States of America. Let's stay that
way. Yeah, that was a great night for the governor. But something that hasn't been talked about at 580-5436, and it's an uncomfortable issue to talk about, and it is our economic future. If you are of the Air Force, you're going to say look at these facilities and go, well, it's great for the Army and the Army Reserve and the Air Force and the Air Force Reserve, but we've got Mountain Home down the road. And we've seen the layoffs, which have not been reported. Look, I don't want to talk about this, but I believe it's our duty to expose what's going on, to raise the awareness, to galvanize the community, to galvanize the entire state and say, not so fast, President Obama, just like we did with the Boulder white clouds. Now you've got Mike Simpson, probably his last chance to get some type of wilderness bill passed. Otherwise, as we astutely and accurately predicted, Obama's going to take that region. It's going to be Obama National Park, if you will. He just did it yesterday using the Antiquities Act in Chicago, in Illinois. So it's up to him. I mean, this is a guy that makes up the laws, and a federal judge has to come down and smack him. So we have the case from our senators and our governor on Gowan Field and how important it is to us. And you're saying, well, Kevin Miller, where do I come in? How do I make a difference? Well, I have to say at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, perhaps we come up with some type of idea, some type of awareness campaign. But and I do believe that Senator Risch and Senator Crapo, who we will talk to, Senator Crapo, next hour, I do believe that they're working behind the scenes. Now, let me ask you this question. If the administration says, okay, we're going to play a house of cards game with you, and you want Gowan Field, you want those jobs, we want the Boulder white clouds, what do you do? Do you make that deal? Because quite frankly, in this era of neutering, cutting up the military, which we've seen unprecedented under this administration, we're seeing it right now. Who's to say? And maybe you don't work at Gowan Field. Maybe it doesn't matter to you. Maybe you think, wow, we could make that part of the airport even more, expand the Boise Airport, maybe even get some more flights in here. Speaking of it from a pure capitalistic point of view, maybe that's what we should do. And the Secretary of the Air Force's argument is going to be, look, you got Mountain Home down the road. And you had the governor and others saying, well, it's a long drive. They don't care. Wherever we live, we have a tendency to view things from our perspective, right? The problem is convincing the bigwigs in Washington that ours is the right perspective. So if you want to talk a little bit about Gowan Field, maybe you agree with me. Maybe you believe I'm an alarmist at 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Love to take your calls on that. We expected Senator Cameron. Apparently that's not going to happen today. So we apologize to you for that. We will do our very best to reschedule Senator Cameron. And we will move on. Now, as we talked a little earlier, you've got Rudy Giuliani calling the president not very patriotic, basically saying, look, he's apologized for America, he's done this, he's done that. And instead of agreeing with the senator, you have Fox News' Megyn Kelly going after Giuliani. If you're just waking up, we'll share this clip with you before we move on.
But when you say that he wasn't raised to love America, I mean, he was raised in part by his grandparents. His grandfather served in World War II. His grandmother worked in a munitions plant to help the nation during World War II. I mean, to suggest he was raised by people who don't love America or who didn't help him learn to love America.
Well, his grandfather introduced him to Frank Marshall Davis, who was a communist, who the president
he fought in World War II.
Okay, you can fight in World War II, and then you introduce someone to a communist, and the young boy gets...
It's a political worldview. It's not a hatred for the country.
Communism wasn't a hatred for America?
I'm talking about his grandfather. If he had a leftist view of how politics in the United States should run, does that mean he doesn't love America? Does it mean his grandson doesn't?
Kelly, how about being in a church for 17 years, where the minister of the church says, it's not God loves America, but God...
And you know the rest there. You notice how when he smacks her down, that she moves on. Male or woman or female, Giuliani was right. By the way, speaking of the Idaho legislature, a bill seeking to expand parental rights in Idaho has sparked concerns from attorneys who say its implementation could spark a new slew of lawsuits. Well, as if we don't have enough attorneys and seeking what they're, you know, keeping them employed, why not? We've got on the other side family advocates who say the measure is needed because state law fails to outline parental freedoms. Here's how it breaks down. The State Affairs Committee in the House listened for over 2 hours of testimony that would expand Idaho law to say parents and legal guardians have the fundamental right to make decisions regarding the care, custody, education, and control of their children. Now, as you're driving into work, or maybe you're on vacation, maybe you're doing something else, you as a parent, you that pay the bills, you that, because I'm mom and I said so, or because I'm dad and I said so, why do you need a bill to legitimize your rights as a parent? Right? Why do you need the Idaho House, the Idaho Senate, Governor Otter to give you permission to make decisions for your kid? Certainly, if a kid has an issue with a parent, we have the Department of Social Services. We have other places, right? Why in the world would you need that? Apparently, you had a representative from the Idaho Supreme Court saying that the inclusion of education and legal guardians is in conflict with prior court judgments. Now, again, is this law going to make a difference? Are there some pencil-necked bureaucrats taking away parental rights? What's the need for this legislation? Perhaps concern over Common Core, perhaps the concern over anything else. But think about this at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Do you need the Idaho legislature to give you permission to be a parent? I mean, really? We talk about the nanny state, and then, you know, we were talking about budgets, and you know, the next time we have Senator Cameron on, we'll ask him about this. I mean, people now want to fund pre-K education. Well, who's going to pay for that? Now, that'll be tax time, right? 718, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Time for traffic now.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
It all comes down to this. Do you need the state's permission to be a good parent? Tom in Nampa, good morning. You're on with Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO. Hey, Tom.
Morning, Kevin. Yeah, you asked the question, do we need that law? And I think common sense would say no, but the reality would say yes, because if you look at what's happening around our nation, you've got fairly prominent newscasters and news hosts like Melissa Harris-Perry who make the statement that we have to get over the notion that our children belong to us and acknowledge they belong to the community. You have a phenomenon going on around the country right now known as medical kidnapping. There's a couple of cases. Most predominantly was the young teenage girl who was forced by the state to take chemotherapy against her will, even though she was 17 years old and was able to make the choice for herself, and her parents backed her decision. She was taken away from her parents' custody and forced to have chemotherapy. There was another girl in Massachusetts that was taken by the hospital and had custody removed from her parents and given to the hospital. to give her treatment for a disease that was misdiagnosed, and finally, after they won the battle in court, got her to a different hospital, they found out the treatment she'd been getting was killing her. It's not something that we've had a lot of problem with in Idaho, but when you see a problem like that going on around the country, it's a good idea to maybe reassure our rights here so that it doesn't become a problem in the future.
Tom, great points, and if you're watching Melissa Harris-Perry, you have much more patience than I do. On the other hand, aren't we just inviting ourselves, whether it's the ACLU or someone else, to sue to embarrass us, to strike down this law once it's passed?
You know, if you're asserting your own rights through legislation and you have somebody that wants to come and assert that right to be taken away from you, that goes to show a lot of the state of our country. You know, there should be never anything to hold us against standing up and saying that this is our right.
Well, I give you this. It's a great point. We shouldn't be afraid of the liberal ne'er-do-wells. I don't know if you've been watching the local news, and sometimes we do, sometimes we don't, but it's almost like mission creep where you hear, whether it's them giving cover or their reporting about local politicians, where you kind of hear that mission creep coming in here. Well, we had an Idaho couple that, you know, because of their religion, they didn't give their kid medical treatment. Then something happened to the kid, and you kind of, you know, well, then we're going to talk to a politician. Well, we're going to stop this. Have you heard any of those stories around here?
You know, you always hear a few of those stories. And when it comes to parents who are abusing their rights and abusing their children, there's already a system that we have to take that right away. And it requires, just like taking away a person's Second Amendment right or their First Amendment right or any other right, it requires something called due process. If a parent is doing wrong, the state can step in, and this law would not change that. It would just reinforce that there must be due process. You must go in front of a jury of your peers and a non-biased court and have that decision made there, not by some bureaucratic agency or some law enforcement officer who makes that decision right there on the spot. And the big problem we've had around the country is that so many parents will have their kids taken away as if they're guilty until they go to court and prove they're innocent. And our country is supposed to be the other way around. If you're doing something harmful to your child and the state needs to intervene, there's a way they can do that, but you are innocent until proven guilty, and the burden of proof is on the state. And that's all that this law would do, is reinforce that.
Tom, thank you for the call.
Hi, thank you.
All right, if you're just tuning in, big debate yesterday before the House State Affairs Committee on a parental rights piece of legislation. My take is, we live in Idaho, and who's the government to give you permission on how to be a parent? Travis, good morning. You're on with Kevin Miller, 580KIDO. Hey, Travis.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, the reason I was calling in is I agree with the both of you. I mean, the last caller and yourself. We have these God-given rights to be able to raise our children the way that we see fit to raise our children. Where is it going to stop if the government decides that they're going to pass a bill that says that we have to raise our children in a certain religion, or we have to raise our children and they have to have, you know, the immunization thing is a big thing right now. You know, eventually at some point, all of this stuff is going to come to a head and the government is going to completely take over the parenting of our children. But at the same time, even if we were to pass a bill to say that we were going to have the rights that we want, the federal government has proved time and time again that they can just come in and change our laws, change our constitution, and do whatever they want, and we're not standing up and doing anything that we can, you know, anything to stop them from doing that.
Well, I agree with you. The fact is that we do see this. We see it in the schools. We see it in education. We see it in the media. We see it in the news, where we have the groupthink. Heck, you could argue Megyn Kelly's comments, Travis, where she says communism hated America. Who? Hey, sister, you're 46, 47 years old. You grew up the time we did. You know the commies are bad people. I mean, her defense of communism. What the heck is that? Now, again, yeah, and I guess my point is, maybe the state should raise the kids, which is totally counterintuitive, counterproductive to how we all were raised.
Well, I think my point is that, you know, no matter what law we pass, no matter what bill we put in place, if the federal government right now, in their infinite wisdom, decides that they have a better thought process than we as parents, as those that have the God-given right to raise our children. Because if we lived anywhere else in the world, if we lived on an island in the middle of nowhere that had no governmental regulations, we would raise our children the way we wanted to raise our children. And by having someone sit there and tell us and dictate, you know, what we can and can't do with our kids is asinine.
Well, and look, again, that's another reason why I think they want to disarm us.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
But, again, it's like with the gay rights, you know, the gay marriage thing. Idaho made it part of their constitution, said, hey, it's not for us. Federal government steps in and says, nope, it has to be for you because that's just the way it's going to be. What's going to say that they're not going to do the same thing with us? Idaho, we have, you know, we say we want the rights to be able to raise our children the way we want to raise them. Federal government steps in and says, nope, sorry, that's not right. You're going to have to do it the way we tell you to.
Travis, thank you for listening. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Well, well, well. It's always good to have one of our friends from Old Home Week. This young man was the belle of the ball. He's brash. He's an elected official. He's opinionated. Then we had him on for a while, and then he just disappeared on us. I don't believe our phone calls were returned, and now all of a sudden he comes back to us, hat in hand. We're ready to give him a nice warm hug, our great friend, Representative Matt Erpelding, a young man who has a great future in this state. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
You can tell I've missed you.
That's not how I remember the story going, but I appreciate the opportunity to come back to the show.
Well, you know, and I'll say this before everybody, we need to have you on more often. Maybe you got a life, and you know, that's good too. But you know,
well, you know, I went and got engaged. I've you know, kind of doing all that. So yeah, I kind of got a little bit of a life, but you know, not one that would be enough to ignore the Kevin Miller Show.
God bless you. Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
So before we get to some other issues here, because you know what we'd like to do, we'd like to give you an opportunity to express your views that may or may not go forth with the listening public here in the quest to expand our listening audience and expand the dialogue. We have some good legislation that you're looking into, and obviously we want to get to that. So tell us a little bit about the animal cruelty legislation that you're looking at, that you're sponsoring, that you want to get through.
Well, thanks a lot. Yeah. So animal cruelty in Idaho has been an area of consternation for quite a while. I know last year when I was on your show, we talked about the Agricultural Security Act. And over the years, we've been talking about what has increasingly become a problem, which is animal cruelty, and particularly with household and companion pets. And that legislation consistently gets stalled out when the industry cites concerns that if you start to hold people accountable for animal cruelty, which, as you know, Kevin, animal cruelty and domestic violence and child abuse are highly, highly correlated. I mean, the numbers are staggering. I mean, those people who witness animal cruelty as a child are 8 times more likely to become a perpetrator of violence. And 75% of all animal cruelty or animal torture is committed in the presence of a child. And so when we start talking about animal cruelty as it relates to the health and welfare of our citizens, you know, I think it's kind of a conservative tenet that we make sure that that which is violence and then ultimately leads to human violence is addressed.
Well, Representative Erpelding at 580 KIDO, let's talk about the specifics of your bill. What are you looking to stop? And we'll get into the industry's reaction, but what are you looking to stop?
Well, so 2 years ago, Representative Andrus carried a great piece of legislation that was able to get through the House with about 55 votes. So pretty big margin it came through the House. And what it did was it defined torture, animal torture versus animal cruelty. And it defined torture as knowing and willful infliction of unjustifiable or extreme or prolonged pain with the intent to cause suffering. I mean, that's a pretty strong set of language. But it stalled out in the Senate, so we started working on it again this year, and there's been some issues in Ada County where animals have been tortured in front of children in a most gruesome manner. And often when you have a household pet, a dog or a cat, that's tortured in front of a child, it's usually a violent act over a fight with the other counterpart of the house, whether that's an estranged wife, a girlfriend, or partner. So what we were working to do was take what Representative Andrus had done, which is pretty good. It makes animal cruelty a felony for a second offense if it's just done on its own. We added two things. One is if you commit animal torture in front of a child, then it's a first-time felony. The reason that that's important is we know, and the evidence is pretty clear, 1% of domestic violence survivors report that their partners killed or harmed or threatened their animals. So the relationship is so high that we really think that if you start doing this in front of a kid, you should be held accountable for that. The other piece is we also know, and the FBI has been really clear about this, that those children that have a history of cruelty to animals is one of the traits that regularly appears in serial killers and rapists. So in the case of juvenile violations, we really felt it was important that the judicial branch be allowed to order a mental health assessment on those that have been convicted of cruel behavior to household pets.
How many people are really prosecuted in the state for animal cruelty, or are there just no laws on the books? Because we've seen the exposés and we've had news stories.
It's one of those – it's a great question, Kevin. It's a great question. It's one of those things where you don't have a lot of people that are prosecuted for it, but that's in large part because it's a misdemeanor. So you have somebody that commits cruelty to an animal in front of a kid, and it's a misdemeanor. The other thing is the way the law was drafted, I believe we had a piece in 2011, so the year before I was elected, that – made animal cruelty a felony after the third offense in 15 years. I would advocate that if you're willing to be cruel to a household pet three times in 15 years, that we might not have enough penalties to help deter you from doing that.
And what would you like? Well, you remember now, was it that same legislation that was that was the result of a citizen petition drive that had, 40 or 50,000 signatures? You remember that?
Not super clearly, although part of the discussion in 2012 was we need to do this to avoid a citizen's initiative. That argument to me seems really short-sighted. I think we need animal cruelty legislation because we know in Idaho we have a problem with domestic violence and we have a problem with child abuse, and the relationship between the three is so dramatic that treating animal cruelty, particularly for household pets and companion animals — we are not talking about traditional husbandry, we're not talking about livestock, we're only talking about household pets — but if we treat that as a misdemeanor, we basically beget violence against humans over time, and that's a real concern, I think.
Representative Matt Erpelding with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. So you're asking people to do what?
You know, I think if you agree that it's a tenet that we want to protect our citizens, we probably need to call our legislators and make sure that they understand that animal cruelty is not acceptable in Idaho, and that I sit on Agriculture Committee, and I will do everything I can to help protect the industry. I recognize how important the agricultural industry is to Idaho. So when we start talking about household pets, the relationship between the two, I just don't see there being one. The legislation that Representative Andrus had and the legislation that I have both excludes production animals and traditional acts of husbandry from animal cruelty or animal torture. So we need people to call their legislators and encourage them.
Now, quickly, you're working on bringing a retailer here?
Oh, yeah, you saw that. Yeah, that's an opportunity. I like to call that the Aim High legislation. You know, the outdoor retailer is a $40 million economic influx into Salt Lake City every year. Their contract is expiring in 2016, and they have openly said they're looking at other states. They're looking at Denver. They're looking at Las Vegas. They're looking at a couple of other places. But here's the thing about Idaho. We have $6.1 billion in economic output related to our outdoor recreation industry. We recently passed the Idaho Reinvestment Incentive Act, and we have some other incentives. So even if we go and say we want the outdoor retailer to come here, if we got that, that would be the just a massive boon to our economy. We probably are a dark horse. We would be a dark horse in terms of consideration for that. But there are 2,000 vendors that go to the outdoor retailer every year. These are outdoor equipment manufacturers. Idaho is open for business, and I think the amount of open space we have, the opportunities we have for outdoor recreation in Idaho and our business-friendly climate lend to those businesses coming here and setting up shop. And so I really think that we want to be on the radar and let the outdoor industry know, which is, I believe, a $646 billion industry nationally. We want them to come to Idaho.
Now, are you doing everything you can to recruit them?
Absolutely. As you know, I'm a licensed outfitter and guide. I've been heavily involved in the outdoor industry for my entire career. And I think this piece of legislation, plus really starting to talk to the Department of Commerce, really focusing our energies toward advocating Idaho as a place that has an immense amount of public land, has a tremendous amount of economic opportunity, and a burgeoning economy, I think there's no turning us back.
Well, don't be a stranger.
Well, absolutely. Let's do it again.
All right. Representative Erpelding, good luck, and keep fighting for the animals.
Hey, thanks so much. Talk to you soon, Kevin.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. Representative Matt Erpelding with us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work safe.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, Sheriff Rainey will join us and Senator Crapo. We go to our friend Alma. Good morning, Alma.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Not bad.
Good.
And you?
Well, I'm doing okay. I just wanted to call and follow up with your earlier calls on how the state is, you know, imposing its dominant will over, you know, the rest of us, just, you know, little Joe Blow citizens, and share with you what happened yesterday in the House Resources Committee. There were three bills that went through there, and the exact same thing happened over on these three bills. Our lawmakers basically went against Idahoans' best interest on all three of these bills to the point where it's going to cost us millions and millions of dollars by their actions. And as if that wasn't egregious enough, one of the bills, House Bill 123, actually removes our ability to put up a defense if we're ever hauled in front of the Idaho Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, which is an appointed body, not an elected body, but they're a quasi-judicial board. So if somebody finds themselves in front of the Idaho Oil and Gas Conservation Commission because they are being integrated and the state and the oil companies trying to, you know, take their mineral rights, then you won't have the ability to question their witnesses or look at their evidence or their documents or anything. And even though I begged the committee not to pass this, and in fact I asked them the question, you know, I don't know when my farm got dropped in China, because the last I checked, it was in Parma, Idaho, but these actions are reminiscent of living in China. And so I just wanted to throw that out there because, it, you know, the police state is here. I hate to say it, and, you know, and I certainly don't mean to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, our rights are being trampled and violated every day, and every day our lawmakers are doing things that are more and more egregious. And I'm talking about lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, not just the Republicans. The Democrats went walk and step yesterday on all three of these bills. So, you know, I think that we as a country and, you know, here in Idaho, we have to look and pay attention to what's happening and demand that our lawmakers start looking out for our best interests instead of those of the lobbyists, because that's what's happening right now. We are far from a socialist state. We are in an oligarchy and or plutocracy. And if people don't know what the definitions of those are, although I think most of your listeners probably do, they need to look them up and become familiar with them and watch the actions that are happening at both the state level and the federal level, because, you know, our basic rights, our most basic rights, are getting tossed aside every day. And at some point, how do we reel them back?
Good point, you know? Alma. We appreciate it. Time for traffic now.